Good morning. We invite you to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church. We have Sunday school this morning at 10 o'clock and then our morning worship at 11. And then tonight services begin at 4 o'clock with our prayer service and then 4:30 for our evening worship. And then our Wednesday night Bible study meets at 7 p.m. You can check us out on the internet by going to www.independencebaptist.org. You'll find much information there concerning our church. This morning, I'd like to speak on the subject of death and life, taking my text from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21 and 22, which states, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." This morning's message contains 2 points. Point number 1 will be concerning death, and point number 2 will be concerning life. Think about death just a minute, especially as we think on this passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21 states, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." What does this passage mean? "For since by man came death." This passage means that death is not a creation of God. Think with me now. In the beginning of this world, there was no death. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 1, in verse 31, after God had finished creating all of this world in the 6 literal 24-hour days, that God said, "It is very good." And in that time, there was no death. You see, man is the one that brought death into the world, not God. That may be a very remarkable thing to think about, but just dwell on that a little while. The Bible said, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." And then verse 22 explains verse 21, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." You see, it's man that has brought death into the world, but it is Christ who brings life into the world. Death came into the world because Adam disobeyed one command. As a matter of fact, Adam only had one command, and that command was that Adam should not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which God placed in the Garden of Eden. Was that tree poison? Do you think the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil was poison and God said stay away from it because that fruit is poison? Well, remember, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, God said that everything that he had made was very good. I do not believe that that tree of knowledge of good and evil had poison fruit. But I believe that tree of knowledge of good and evil was placed in the Garden of Eden so Adam would continually remember that God is his maker, and that Adam is accountable unto God alone. Well, you know the story about how sin and death came into the world. The Bible said there in Genesis chapter 3 that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And this serpent came unto the woman and said, "Hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And of course, the woman listened to what he said, and she said, "Well, God has said we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." And the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And there we find that the woman listened to what the devil had to say. And the Bible says that the woman looked at the fruit of that tree, and she saw that it was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and that it was a tree to be desired to make one wise. And then the Bible said that this woman took of the fruit of that tree, and she ate it. But not only did she eat it, she also gave to her husband with her, and he did eat it. And the Bible said that the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together to hide their nakedness from themselves and from God. You know, the command that God gave to Adam was this: Adam, if you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, in that day you shall surely die. Let's think once again. Death has been brought into the world not by God. Rather, it's been brought into the world by man. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 21, "For since by man came death." And so, man is the one that has brought death into this world. Death is a terrible thing because it snatches our loved ones away from us. And it is a dreadful thing indeed. Men were not created to die. When God created Adam and his wife in the Garden of Eden, he created them not to die, but he created them to live eternally in the physical body that he gave them in the Garden of Eden. But man has brought death into the world and all the suffering that accompanies death. Well, there's a good thing that we ought to consider concerning death, and that is that God says that we will die. Notice in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 21 through 23, death is a release from the pain and suffering of this world. The Bible said, "Therefore, let no man glory in man, for all things are yours." Notice that Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 21, and he says, "For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours." Notice that Paul writes emphatically that life is the believer's. That life belongs to the believer. But not only does life belong to the believer, but death as well belongs to the believer. Why, then, would we want death? I can understand why we would want life, but why would we ever desire death? And the fact is that death is a release from the pain and the suffering of this world. Notice in the book of Genesis, chapter 3 and verse 22, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, and a flaming sword which turned every way, to keep the way of the tree of life." In death, God is very merciful unto us. Why is that? Because there comes a time when this physical body is so filled with sin and the result of sin that life becomes impossible. And so we die, and the spirit and the soul is separated from the body. But notice this, that if Adam in that day had taken of the fruit of the tree of life, then there would never be any kind of death. Can you imagine what kind of condition the body of Adam would be in if he had never died? Adam at this point would be 6,000 years old. He would not have been in health. Adam died at the age of 930 years old. To continue to live for the other 5,000 years in the body which should have died would be a terrible life. It would be a life totally filled with pain and sorrow. And my, how depressing that could be. We could not even know. And so death comes to us as a means of releasing us from the pain, the suffering, and the sorrow of this world. But notice our second point. Point number one was concerning death and how death comes upon all. And all are going to face death because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the second point is that there is life. The Bible said, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." And then the explanation in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." The fact is that Jesus Christ is our hope. The physical Adam is the first Adam who brought death. But there is a spiritual Adam, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into the world to shed his blood that we might have everlasting life. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is God incarnate in the flesh. Jesus Christ has come to this earth, and Jesus Christ has shed his blood that you and I might have everlasting life. Notice the miracles that Jesus Christ did when he was here upon this earth. Jesus Christ did many miracles. Jesus Christ healed many people of their sicknesses and of their diseases. And Jesus Christ did all of that to show people that he could not only heal them of their physical sicknesses, but Jesus Christ could heal them of their soul's sins. That Jesus Christ could take care of them. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. He did not die because he had any sins. But Jesus Christ took our sins upon himself. And Jesus Christ there died in our place. He was the Passover Lamb. He is the one who is able to go before God with our sins. And he is the sacrifice that God the Father will accept for us. I know today that a lot of people want to disregard Jesus Christ. They want to say that he's nothing at all. They want to say that Jesus was just another man. But let me tell you, you can never get away from the fact that Jesus Christ is God. And that Jesus Christ is the Savior, and Jesus Christ is the coming Judge. Let me read you this passage, please. In the book of Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, Jesus says this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Oh, what a great and a marvelous truth this is. Jesus Christ says, if you are heavy laden with your sin, if you are full of guilt, if you are a sinner and you know it, then you come to Jesus Christ. You bring your sins. You don't have to bring any righteousness because the Bible said you don't have any righteousness. Rather, you come to Jesus Christ just as you are, a sinner, hell-bound, deserving to go, and you just trust Jesus Christ and let him save you. Remember the story of many of those people in the New Testament that came to Jesus Christ desiring to be healed. How many of them did Jesus heal? The Bible says that he healed them every one. There was not a one that he did not heal. Let me ask you this morning, how many people will come to Jesus and not find rest? Listen, not a one. Jesus Christ is well able to take care of your sins. He is well able to forgive you. Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. He has all power, and he is able to forgive you. He is able to cleanse you. He is able to wash away your sins, and he's able to save your unworthy soul from an eternal hell. He is able to take those flames of fire away from you. Jesus Christ is able to give you peace if you'll come unto him. That's what he said. And there's not a one that he would turn away. But sometimes I wonder, when I think about the miracles that Jesus Christ performed during his own personal ministry, I wonder how many people were sick and did not come to him for healing. I think back in the book of Numbers, when Israel was traveling in the wilderness and they were bitten of those fiery serpents and many people died. And Moses came before God and God said, just make a brazen serpent and put it up on a pole and everybody that looks shall live. I wonder how many of the Israelites refused to look at that brazen serpent and live. I think of this today in this world. How many people will hear this message this morning about Jesus Christ, saving grace and power, and yet refuse to listen, refuse to look to Jesus, refuse to come to Jesus and find eternal life. This morning, if you're lost, we'd urge you to trust Jesus. Believe in him, because Jesus Christ is the only way. Thank you now for listening.